But part of me today was really, I was really trying to pray today for our country going forward. Just because, listen, I don't care who the president is, we don't want him to fail. We can say that, right? I don't want him to fail. So I've been really conditioning myself saying, God, I don't want to fail. I want to pray that God intervenes. He does have the reins and the hearts and the minds of leaders. He does. I just pray that the things that are against his will, that that I understand what happens, right? You get the judgment. We get the judgment of God as a nation or an individual when you go against the will of God. So, but I've been praying all day. And a couple, and I'm gonna be real transparent. I think I always am as a preacher, as a minister. But I'm going to be honest with you going forward. the thing that the Lord's pressed in my spirit is telling me as a minister of the gospel is the church had been petty for so long. We worried about things, traditions, and outward stuff for decades. When we should have started ministering to the spiritual need and building up stronger spiritually that we could handle situations. Not only we can handle, but we can see them coming, feel them coming. You understand what I'm saying? I believe if we'd have been a church listening to the Spirit of God, this thing would have been a lot more, okay, this is happening. This is going to happen, and this is how God's going to transcend into this thing. So anyway, be prepared for that going forward. I don't know what that means as far as anything I'm going to do differently other than the fact that is traditions really don't mean a whole lot to me. I was raised in a traditional church when I was young, but I was lost. So I was against that anyway. And I'm not against traditions that are good, but I'm going to say this. If it's not written in the Word of God, I really don't care. If God didn't say, hey, worry about this, then we're not going to worry about it. We are going to worry about the spiritual. We've been comparing ourselves, the church, as a spiritual army for a long time. Well, I just ask God, can we be the Navy SEALs if we're going to be anybody? Can we dispense? Can we get lean and mean? And can we be effective? Can we be flexible? Can we do things instead of just being this, whew, never mind. All right. Matthew 13, verse 44. Tonight, I wanted to go, I guess in my, when I feel wronged a little bit or I feel like that something's going wrong, I go to Psalm 73. That's one of my, Psalm 73 is one of my go-tos for like, and I had this one on there for a Wednesday night a couple weeks ago when I started seeing this. And I knew this is what the Lord wanted me to preach, but I was like, I'll give them Psalm 73 because they'll want that too. They did. But if you want into my personal stash, my personal stuff that I put aside, Psalm 73 helps me get through when I think somebody is getting over and God don't know about it, I go to Psalm 73 and God tells me every time, you know, look, don't look at what's going on now, look at their end and look at your end, okay, and get it straight. Because sometimes we can get to the place where we're sitting there looking at it going, they're doing better than us. The world outside of Christ is not doing better than you are. Doesn't matter how bad you're doing or how good you're doing. Does that make sense? All right, good. So then we got into this, and hopefully this will give you, this is what it's like. This is exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I'm going to give you three, hopefully quick points maybe. Y'all just hold your breath with that. But they're going to be referenced from TV. Ooh. See, I was a TV kid. I grew up. I remember when I heard, and I lived in Polk County, Tennessee, which is similar to where you live at here. But we heard this thing when I lived in one part. It was a rural area, and it was Bradley County got everything, and then it kind of creeped out into Polk County, right? Because I can remember when pavement was coming. Well, they call it blacktop. Blacktop's coming, right? Then I remember when cable was coming. The cable's coming, you know. Where'd the cable end this time, you know? So finally, you know, when we got cable, I watched TV a lot. So this will really, hopefully this will help this part of the scripture stick to the sticky side of your brain, to what heaven really is like, okay? So the first one is Matthew 13, verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what it's like. Y'all seeing that? Does that make sense to you? This is what it's like. Now listen, when you read this, there's seven parables in this little group. We're going to cover three of them, the last three. And I just want you to see this. This is so good. It's like this. It's not exactly. You know what I'm saying? He's teaching in parables where everybody can understand without him just bluntly saying it, because he taught in parables, because if he had told them straight up, he would have been so polarizing at this moment, they would have took him straight to the cross, or they would have took him right to the crown. You understand what I'm saying? If he would have just come out and said, you know what this really is? I'm God. I'm here to die for the whole world. And you need me as a Savior. Pick me as a Savior or reject me right now. That's what. And if he would have done that, it would have been polarizing. He would have never got anything done for three years. So guess what? They would either put him on the cross or they'd put him on the crown. So he taught in parables that people were starting to pick it up and understand it. And the ones that God opened their heart and their mind to, they accepted him. And the ones they didn't, they were like, I don't understand this. I think he's trying to say that he's God. I'm not sure. But these are the things, this is what it's like. Not exactly, but this is what it's like. And I love this. Let's get into it. 13:44 says, and again the kingdom of heaven, no, I'm sorry. Again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hath hidden, he found it hideth, wait a minute, he found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. Okay, let me break this down. He's looking in this field, this big open field. He finds a treasure and finds it, but then he hides it again. And then he goes and he purchases the field, right? But in this time, it's very understandable to do that, because the custom is, if he had found the treasure and he would have took the treasure to the owner of the field would have been like, that's my treasure. So what he did is he replaced the treasure, went and said, can I buy the field? And the owner's like, of course, you can have the field. I'm just going to say it for this way. I'm not going to say it's exactly true on this, but he's like, it's not a great field. It's worth more to me to sell it than to keep it. But that man knew that there was a treasure on it, right? And he's like, I want that treasure. So I'm willing to buy the land to get the treasure. And so he does, and guess what? Then he gets the treasure. Well, guess what? God says heaven's like that. It's like when you are looking for you're looking at a piece of ground or a field or something, and it don't look very desirable to you, and you're like, man, I really don't know if it's good or bad or different. I don't know if any of y'all, we live in East Tennessee, so I explain like this. Have you ever seen a property and it's kind of overgrown and rough? And like, you know, from the road, you're kind of looking at it, and you go, it wouldn't, you know, maybe if you could put a house up there, maybe you could do this. Is that a Chevrolet? I mean, I can swear, if you just look, it looks like the hood of a Chevrolet. And over there, that looks like a rusted, it might have been a tractor, right? Y'all live in the same place I live in, right? Right? Okay, so guess what? I watched this show, it's called American Pickers. Has anybody ever seen American Pickers? Good, because I watch it every once in a while. It's an in-between show for me. It's not like an everyday watch. But like sometimes, like when I'm just kind of surfing through and there's nothing on and I see these two knuckleheads riding around, and what they're doing is they're looking for old barns and old properties with a bunch of junk in them, right? And they'll pull in and they'll find some good old guy. And he'll say, hey, man, how's it going, man? And we go, you got anything in there? Well, I got some junk in there, you know. And they open it up, and there's like 13 old Corvettes in there. And, you know, but then there's also raccoon mess and rats. And then there's like 20 old beat-up cars that ain't worth nothing. And then that's what this is like. Jesus said that's what heaven's like. He said you can look at it for a long time and see all the stuff in it that's rough, but in the center of it's Jesus. And once you see him, and once you see it, and once you understand it, you go, I'll take the whole thing. I'll take the whole thing. Hey, I love that show Pickers, because sometimes, because they'll be in there, and they'll kind of be, you know how they do, they edit it, but they're sitting there talking to the guy, and they know this one thing is worth a lot. And they'll buy a bunch of other junk to get that. You know what I'm saying? And they'll negotiate back and forth. They go, you know, I don't know what, you know, it's, well, I bought this over here, and I bought this over here, and I bought that over there. At least give me a shot at this. You give me a shot at the crown jewel, right? Well, you know. But that's what God said. He said, when you see who Jesus is, when you see who the kingdom of God is, when you see it, you're like, man, I'll take, and then you start looking, you start living your life as a Christian, and everybody says, well, ain't no rose gate. It's not. But we purchased the whole, we got the whole thing for Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. The field comes with it. The field of living for Jesus comes with it. Some of y'all sitting here are like, oh, man, I don't like the way you're kind of developing this, baby. Well, I just stay with me. Because in that field are some other awesome things. Amen? There's some other beneficial things in there. Like when I found Jesus, man, it took me a long time to recognize anything else in the field as good. It was just me and God. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. A sinner like me in the kingdom of God, a sinner like me forgiven, a sinner like me. Then I found some joy. Then I found some happiness. Then I found some peace. But man, I found love. I found love given to me, but I also found what was to be a person who loved. Man, that's when you find these things, you're like, man, I thought the main deal was the treasure in the field. It is. But man, all those other little things. But guess what? There's also some junkers in there. Huh? There are also some junkers in there. Can we be real honest? It ain't easy being a Christian. Sometimes you find out that people who say they're in faith are mean. No, just mean. Not, well, I'm spiritual, I'm tough. No, you're not tough, you're mean. Hypocritical, liars, backbiters, people who do stuff for no good reason. Yeah, man, then your family, oh my goodness, you would think. I remember, I hate to put everything through my perspective, but I remember I wish Kevin would get his life straightened out. I mean, that was the prayer of the people who wasn't even in church. They were looking at me going, man, if he don't do something, it's going to be bad. I wish he would get straightened out. Well, I did. But my goodness, you would be something. I got Jesus. Well, no, now you've gone too far. You've gone no other way. There is no other way. There is no too far the other way. You can't get too good. Amen? The only problem with this is you run into the same problem as the person that had the demoniac that had a legion of devils in him. The problem is if you get well, everybody else then has to say, you know what? I need to get well too. I can't no longer just sit there and go, well, at least I'm not Kevin. You know? And then you don't get the phone, pick up the phone and say, what did he do this time? Right? What's she into this time? She's at church again. Went to revival again this week. Leading a Bible study on Facebook. Talking about Jesus again. It gets old, right? The drug addict, the liar, the prostitute, the thief, the worst of the worst of the worst is now right. There's a lot comes with this. There's a lot comes with this field that you don't get to pick. That there's junk cars in that thing. And I wish I could tell you, man, being a Christian is going to be the best thing. It is going to be the best thing. There are going to be great things, but there's going to be some junkers in there. Life's going to hit you, man. Can I tell you there's some other stuff? It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Storm clouds are going to blow in. You're going to see them coming. There's going to be death in your life. There's going to be heartache in your life. There's going to be things that are unexplainable. You're going to be sitting there going, wait a minute. Listen, wish y'all let me preach to you tonight. There's only a handful of us, but check this out. There's going to be times in your Christian walk, this comes with the field, that you're going to be sitting there going, wait a minute, I'm no better off. This didn't guard me from anything. I'm going to be real plain. I prayed. I sang. I worshiped. I attended. I read. I know the scripture. I know what it says. What's happening? God says, it's in the field too. It's in the field too. Your foundation's better. I can just tell you that. Your foundation's good. It's not going to wash away. But everything else can. Man, I wish I'd get that. Everything else can. Amen? Everything else can wash away. It just said the foundation didn't wash away. Amen? It just said the rock. God, I wish I'd get this. It just said the rock that you built on, it didn't wash away. It did not say anything else about that. All it says is sometimes you have to go all the way down to the bottom and hang on. Amen? Sometimes you just got to go to the bottom and hang on. But praise God, at the bottom, you'll find Jesus. You'll find him. I have a million times, every single time that I thought, man, I ain't got nothing left here. God says, here I am. I'm sitting right here. God, I wasn't going to leave you. I was just waiting for you to get right here. Amen? Because all that stuff, all the other stuff, I didn't promise you that. I promised you I'd be right here. I'd never leave you. I'd never forsake you. The cornerstone's here. The foundation's here. We can build back. But once we get down to here, you're me and you. Amen? Me and you. And you're going to find that. And that's in the field. The field's life. I hope you know that. The field's the life. But once the life's over, the promises kick in of eternal life. That's the treasure. Amen? That's the treasure. Ain't that good? The treasure. Don't lose focus of the treasure. Sometimes we get all out of whack and we just think the treasures are the things. No, the treasure is Jesus Christ. It is eternal life. It is you being born again. That's that spirit man who ain't never going to die. Amen? He's in there just waiting for home. Right? Y'all ever heard the song Beulah Land? I wish I could sing it. You know what's on Beulah Land? I love the song. Some call it Beulah Land. Some call it Heaven. I wish I could sing. Man, if I was a singer, Scott, I'd be in trouble. Some call it Heaven. I call it home. Brutal, brutal. Got it? That's the only reason you can sing about that and know is because the Holy Spirit resides in you. The treasure resides in you. And sometimes, God, I feel the Holy Ghost, sorry. The treasure gets overwhelmed and says, I can't wait to get to the place we're going. Amen? God, the Holy Spirit says to the tabernacle, see, we're in a tent. The Holy Ghost is in a tabernacle. It's wrapped. Amen? And every once in a while, have you ever had your tent blown away? Because that on the inside says, you are trying to contain something that cannot be contained here. This ain't my home. I miss this. We don't get to do this enough anymore. I'm kind of upset about that. But listen, when I was younger in my faith, my tent used to get blown away quite a bit. I would lose it because that thing on the inside would tell me, this ain't your home. Man, you are only passing through. I hope you don't have your tent stakes dug too deep here. Because this is not where you belong. Amen? You are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. You sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God considers you in heaven as much as he does here. Man, ain't that cool? First time I ever read that in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sitting there going, you sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. What? I thought I was just here. He said, no, you're a dual citizen. And you're in a dual place. Oh, man. But that's that American Pickers. As you're riding around, one day you see it. And you just go empty the bank. You give everything away and you buy the field. Amen? And so, I'm going to move on, I promise. I thought, man, it's going to be about a 3-minute message right there. I already blew that out of the water, didn't I? But you know, like, when you buy the, some people are still upset that you bought the field. You know what I mean? Well, you wasted. You've wasted some of your life. You've wasted some time. You ain't never. God, y'all mind if I stay right here? Could you imagine when he first go in the parable when he finds the treasure? This place is worth it. And he just put, I'll just put it over here under this little fair porch. And he's down there at the bank. He's down there going to cash out. What do you mean? I'm just going to take all retirement out. Get it all out. His wife's going, what are you doing? Remember the property? I told you about it. One with a Chevrolet on it and a rusted hood. Yeah. Barn's leaning this way. Only thing holding it up is paint and aspirations. Yeah, that place. Rock everywhere. Don't look like you can dig 2 feet in the ground. Yeah. You're buying it? Yes. Why? Treasure. Found it. It's worth it. That's man, listen, I hope you get this. This is the whole reason I preach this tonight. It's the whole reason I want you. Listen, I can't worry about the end if you ain't never found the treasure. You can't worry about how it's going to end. You can't worry about how the world's going to go if you don't have the treasure. If you don't have the treasure, it doesn't matter. It's over for you. But once you find the treasure, the others, it's minuscule. It's not as important because you got the treasure. Amen. Oh, I'm glad y'all let me just go a little bit further with that because, man, God's good, ain't he? There's this other show I watch every once in a while. Don't judge me by the name of this thing. It's called Pawn Stars. I'm going to say it real slow. Pawn Stars. Pawn. Whew. All right, some of y'all, I know how it is, but make sure. It's about pawning your stuff off. Okay, I'm going to just go ahead and over-explain that. Verse 45, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now, I love this show. It's one of my favorite shows because when these people come in and they'll, you know, if y'all ever watch it, it's one of the most amazing shows. The guy owns this, Rick, he's a genius. He's a certified genius. He's smart. But like these people come in, they'll put this down and go, what is that? He goes, well, this is Mickey Mantle's rookie card. He signed it on the back. And I've been, you know, I was over at my mom and them's. I was cleaning out their stuff, and this fell out. And I also got this playing card and that playing card and this playing card and that playing card. And they're all good, too. Well, how much do you want for it? $40,000 would be good. And you know, like when I'm watching it, somebody says, hey, that's going to be $40,000. And you're like, pfft. But then the guy, Rick, looks at it and goes, you know what? If that's authentic and that's real and it's in good shape, they could go for $40,000. I'm going to have to call my guy in here and have him look at it. An expert, right? But a lot of times I believe, even though the expert, I believe he's seen enough cards and enough things, he could probably look at it and go, you know what? It's probably not the original deal. Or it could be fake, right? But I believe sometimes when he sees him, he's like, oh, man, he's asking $40,000. It's worth $100,000, right? And then they look at it and they figure it out. And I love when the guy comes in and goes, well, we got these other cards, or we got these other coloring books, or we got these other paintings, or we got this. And the man who knows everything looks at it and goes, just bear with me. We're talking about a show. And this right here is junk, and that's junk, and that's junk, and that's junk. But that right there. Now, like when they take out a magnifying glass. They're like, this is an original signature, an original card in really great condition. How much is it worth? Anticipation on both sides. This right here in an auction right now probably bring about $90,000. The owner's like, thanks. And the guy that brought the card in is like, awesome. Best day of my life. Right? He's at the expert's out the door. Then so it's one of my favorite parts of the show. The guy says, "What are you gonna take for it? That $40,000?" Oh no, 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 no! He said it'd get 90 at the auction, so I think I want 90,000, right? But guess what? This is gonna be a thing back and forth. Well, they know the value of it, right? And you know what? I see it's so amazing. You watch this now. This is probably a rare episode, but what I like here is. He'll say, well, he said you can get 90,000. I'll give you 80,000, right? I'll give you 70,000 because I can't get 90,000 for it. That's top value. Then that person's got to go back and forth. But I've seen him every once in a while go, you know what? I can't sell that for $70,000. I'm just going to hold on to it. Because if it's worth $90,000, then you know what? I could probably get more than that sometime down the road. And as they're about to walk out the door, I've seen old Rick go like this before. I'll give you that $90,000. That's tough to walk out on $90,000, right? $90,000 smackaroos when you went in there with $40,000. I don't know. But what is he doing? He's taking the value. He knows the value of it. This man, what he's looking for, every time that comes to the door, he's looking for something, a pearl of great price. And he'll look through all the other pearls until he finds that one that he really wants. And then he'll make the offer for it. Because you know what? That's worth great price. And you know what? Sometimes you have to take the other stuff. You have to look at the other stuff. You have to rifle through the other stuff to find the pearl of great price. When you find it, I'll give you what it's worth. Ain't that amazing? That's when you see Christ for who he really is, you don't... I'll give it all. I'll give it all. I'll bankrupt myself for you. It's a lot like the first parable. Amen? Once you really see it, you'll give up everything you are. And you can go through a lot of things before you find it. I've searched through a lot of things. You've searched through a lot of things before you found Jesus. Some of them seemed like they were worth stuff. Some of them were just useless and wasteful. Until you found who Jesus was. And you should have bankrupted yourself for him because he bankrupted himself for you. Now this last one, this is really neat because it kind of switches gears. Because this is the last parable in this teaching, and I believe the last parable in the teaching was to talk to everybody who had heard the parables. Are y'all good? Have I set it up good? Have y'all listen? Watch, we're on the last part. We're almost done. But let's look at it. Again, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This last one is a comparison to a show called Deadliest Catch. See, it's pretty good. Y'all are going to remember this sermon. You're going to remember it. Because remember, they go out into the Bering Sea, and they're catching crab. And man, that's one of the most dangerous jobs you'll ever see. On the high seas, rough, and they're throwing those pots in there, and they're pulling them out, and it's dangerous. And they're trying, and all they're wanting is a certain kind of crab. And they don't care if they catch anything else. They don't care if they get anything else. Every time they pull out of that big, dark, dirty water, that black, pitch black water in the middle of the sea, usually at night and storms and rain, they pull it up, they set it on the thing, and they shake it, and they look at it, and they go, it's good or it's bad. It's what we're looking for. It's not what we're looking for. And if it's not what they're looking for, they cast it out. If it is what they're looking for, they put it in the hull of the ship. Right? You know what Jesus was saying right here? He was saying, all these parables, they're like a net I dropped down in the sea. And they're dredging. They're pulling. And they're scooping up everybody. The net's just pulling up everything that's there, every person. Every person, these parables, every teaching Jesus had, it's like a big net that he drops down in the sea, which is this world, and he just pulls it all up. And what he does is, man, it's kind of cool. This world can get very dark. It can get very murky, and the conditions can get really bad. Let's just be honest. This world is a dirty world, and the sea bottom can be very dirty. And when that net is first pulled up, you could probably look at it from the outside of the net and go, most of them ain't good. Or you can look at some of them and go, man, and that one might be good. Or that one might be good. But I don't know if we got a whole lot of good in there. The great thing about it is when the net's let down and the sides come down and you spray it off and you clean it up. There's some in there, when they first got on the board, they didn't look like they were going to be the ones that God wanted. And there's going to be some in there that looked on the outside, they looked like keepers. But they weren't. Amen? But Jesus was doing something right here. He said, my net, my word, my Holy Spirit, together, will dredge up everybody. The Word of God, your testimony, the power of the Holy Spirit will draw on everybody. And it's whether you let Jesus catch your soul or not. Whether you put your trust and faith in Him. It matters where you spend your eternity. Whether you stay on board or you get cast over. Amen? And I love this because the parables do that. One of the greatest parables I ever read was the parable of the sower. It's the first one in this group. It's how I determined whether I was saved or not. I walked into a man's office, Brother Roy Johnson, and I told him I'd made a rededication, August 28 of 04. I said, I'd made a rededication of my soul. He says, is that right? He goes, yeah. I said, I rededicated my life to Jesus. He goes, well, when did you get saved? When I was 13 years old. He goes, really? He goes, do me a favor. Go home, read this parable. It was in Mark chapter 2 at the time. It's either 2 or 4, so go check it out. And I went home, and I read that parable. And then I read how the parable breaks down. And I found myself 3 different times. And I said, oh my gosh. You know what happened on August 28 of 04? I got saved. I didn't rededicate my life. I got saved. I had root. I had fruit. Amen. I wasn't choked by the weeds of the world. I didn't get wilted away under the heat of the pressure. Amen. And the devil didn't just come by and swoop by and take it off the top of my head. Boy, he used to do that a lot. I worry about our young people a lot of times. I worry about a lot of us, but when I was young, I remember I used to come to church a lot, and I remember God would get all over me, and before I could get out the door, that parable, when it talked about the devil would come by like a bird and snatch it off top of your head, man, it was so fast. I could remember it. I would always be like, man, I really need to do something. She was cute. She was pretty, man. That was a pretty cool church. Man, did you see that? Everything but, right? The heat, man. When I had to get under the heat, if I had to stand up for Christ, boy, I wilted away. And then my friends and the cares of this world. God, it was so easy to determine that one. Man, I worried more about the world than I worried about anything. Man, I would just let things just suck my whole life away. But then I got Jesus. I'm glad I got that fourth grade. I finally got him. Amen? I finally got him. He got me. I don't know how. I think he got me. It was a partnership there. He drew me and I came. But guess what, man? Now I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Amen? When God first pulled me up, I know when he first pulled me up in that net, I know there would be some people going, nah, nah, it won't work. It won't last. It won't work. He ain't going to make it. Jesus said, nah, he just looks like a messed up fish to you. He's going to be a good one. She's going to be a good one. Amen? Ain't you glad? Aren't you glad it ain't all about the perspective of what it looks like on the outside? It's what's on the inside. Let me finish it up and we'll be done. I promise. Right here, just one part of the verse. So shall it be at the end of the world. And so shall, at verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, watch this, look, this is very, very important. If you're teaching this in your Sunday school or teaching this to a small group, use this last verse right here in verse 51. And Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yes, Lord. You see what he just did? Did you understand it? Yes, you're accountable. Amen? That's what God won't leave you in this lurch of like, man, I don't know if I totally understood that or not. Once you understand it, you got to understand one thing. You better, have you found the great pearl? Have you found the treasure? Are you in the net and will you remain on the boat? Are you in Christ Jesus? Does that make sense? It's good stuff, right? Let's all stand.